What advice would you give to women who are newer entrepreneurs or who are thinking about going out on their own?
So the thing that I would say to you is do it because, from a logical standpoint, the way in which women make wealth, there are two ways. Is one is that you invest, and the second way is that you have your own business because wage parity is over 140 years away. It's just, so that is, so entrepreneurship to me is a great way to get involved. And whether that be, entrepreneurs in a small company or in your own company. So I would say do it. The second thing I would say is find someone to do it with. Because having tried it alone, it is, I think, impossible. It's just overwhelming and you can't possibly manage all those things. And anyone who says that they've done it alone is not truthful, to be honest. You just can't do that. And the third thing I would say is be patient, but don't be patient. So you've got to be after it. It is not an overnight thing. There is just no way. I don't care how good your idea is and who you know. There's a process to it, and don't give up. It is a, I think it is a journey that you are on, and be prepared for that journey, and don't be shocked when it's like, well, everybody loved it. All my friends love it. Why isn't it selling?
Yeah.
So, but do it. That's the bottom line. What if it all works out?
Welcome to The Courage Effect. I'm Suzanne Weller, and this is a show about growth and unleashing what's possible. You'll hear inspiring stories about what courage looks like, how we navigate what's getting in our way, and the opportunities that surface when we choose courage over comfort. Let's get started. Welcome to The Courage Effect. This is Suzanne. I am so thrilled to be here on this sunny spring day. And I am really excited to have a conversation about courage and really how it plays a vital role in women and entrepreneurship. And I am a woman who owns my own business, and I know that it is a challenging and scary and daunting thing to start and to keep going. And we really do need the broader support network, the web of people in our lives to help us to make this happen and to really tap into our strengths and our courage. And our guest today is somebody who does just that. Our guest today is Kate Eisler. Kate is a co-founder of W Marketplace, an innovative e-commerce accelerator and online sales channel supporting women-owned businesses. She has held executive roles in Fortune 100 companies and startups, living and working globally, breaking glass ceilings in the tech industry. Kate's global perspective, gained through executive roles at Microsoft, fuels her influential voice in discussions about global marketing and gender equity. Her journey is detailed in the 2021 memoir, Breaking Borders, showcasing her personal growth and achievements in the business world. Kate, happily married with three sons, is realizing her dream of building a business that fosters economic prosperity while closing the gender gap. Kate, I'm thrilled to have you here. Welcome to the Courage Effect.
Thank you so much. I'm so thrilled to be here.
So I would love for you to tell our guests a little bit more about the W Marketplace and what really inspired you to co-found it.
I would love to. It's my favorite subject these days. The W Marketplace was really sort of my third startup venture. And I have a nonprofit organization that celebrates women, and we are about to have our ninth event and 10th anniversary of the organization. But during COVID, really, I started to see that all, everyone was online shopping, and women were being so disproportionately affected and losing their jobs and trying to make the best out of the situation that I thought there's something I can do to put these things together. And so I thought I have enough of a technology background to be a little bit dangerous. And so why not start an online shopping channel and sales channel for women-owned businesses? Because there's a lot of us. And so that's how the W Marketplace came to be, really.
So fantastic. And I remember when you launched, because obviously you're local and I'm local and we know a lot of the same people, but I was so encouraged to see it for exactly that reason, because there were so many women that were creating amazing products and doing great services that weren't necessarily getting on the radar of the right people.
Yeah. And I think that that's a regular occurrence. And what we've seen, we have over 500 entrepreneurs on the platform today. And we hear this a lot from them. And they're doing amazing things with amazing products, but they get lost oftentimes. And so if we can lend a hand and elevate them, that is perfect.
I know that you also have your accelerator program, which really helps with a lot of the government side as well, because I know that even though the Small Business Administration has put together like women-owned businesses, the certification, I know that it's also a challenge to even attain that. So I'd love for you to talk a little bit about some of those maybe behind the scenes challenges that people aren't aware of.
You bet. Well, one of the things we started our accelerator as a result of really seeing our customer base with these women and these businesses because, you know, it sounds great to just put a business up online and, you know, you hear the success stories of it took off and I made millions in it every month. And really, that's not reality. And so I have, you know, first of all, I think you can never do it alone. And second, there is no such thing as overnight success. It is a lot of work. And so what we started to see is that women needed some more support in terms of how best to sell online across all the channels, not just ours, but Amazon, their own sites, Etsy, wherever they sell. And so we started working with pieces of the local SBA, so the Women-Owned Business Center, the Washington Women's Business Center. And then those are nationwide offices that are a piece of the SBA. And so we started working with them, thinking, you know, how do we support these women who all need to an online presence, but are having a hard time pulling it together? And so we developed our accelerator program. And, you know, we have seen amazing things. And what we know is that as women begin to really optimize their sales, they start to see increased income. And the government, you know, when you say government, you sort of they've taken a step back and said, oh my gosh, we will pay for this training for these women. And so there are ways in which to apply for grants and to get some of this paid for because the government is actually very interested in supporting women-owned businesses and certainly micro and small businesses. And so we've really gotten into the sausage making and we support women to sort of find their way in addition to sell their products. Because again, I think, you know, you can never do it alone. We want to be part of that community to support them.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And how are you getting involved in that process? How do you find out how the sausage is made and knowing where it makes sense for you to be jumping in?
Oh my gosh, I'm relentless. I am, you know, I wake up every day thinking, oh my gosh, I know all these things now. I feel so smart. And then I realize that I know nothing. And so I'm a big curious and I ask questions relentlessly, you know, and sort of have found that out. And really, we have worked our way through a bunch of government channels. There are free services with the, there's a what they call an Apex Accelerator, which is a government program, which is free to everyone if they want a contract. So there's ways in which to do this. I'm also very fortunate that my co-founder is an ex-Department of Commerce worker. And so she started her career. And we started to be in touch with them and on social, and we have become a strategic partner with the Department of Commerce. And that has been very helpful because they start to look into our background and where we are, and we've developed this partnership that is incredible. And you know, the Department of Commerce for the first time is run by a woman in DC, and she is amazing. And so I think that, you know, again, I kind of look at women-owned businesses and women leaders, and I think that that's really helped us.
And so you mentioned Susan Gates, your
Yes.
co-founder. I'd love for you to hear a little bit about how it actually came to fruition when you both joined forces to create the W Marketplace.
So Susan and I actually worked together at another startup, a local startup, gosh, over 20 years ago. And we worked there for a very short time. She had just left Commerce and I worked at Microsoft. And then I left for a period of time. And we both were hired to work in the startup. And the startup didn't go anywhere, but we got each other. And so we became friends and we were always like, someday we'd really like to work together. And so she was silly enough to, I called her during the pandemic and I said, "You busy? Because I've got a crazy idea." And she happened to say, "I'm one of those women who is affected by the pandemic and I'm about to be laid off. And so I'll do it." And so she jumped in and we really, gosh, I have to say, we are so complimentary and so good for each other because we've known each other for a very long time. And it takes that to be a co-founder. It takes really bearing your soul and being open to everyone. And we compliment because we're quite different people. And so we sort of got engaged in the beginning and we look at each other now and think, are we really doing this still? What are we thinking?
Did you go through a similar process too when you decided to launch the accelerator? Because I know that wasn't something that you had when you started out.
Oh my gosh, we did. And I will tell you that we are like a married couple. We have a very healthy debate between us because I am generally the, why can't we do it? I don't see any reason. It sounds crazy, but okay. Lots of things we do sound crazy. Let's just try that. And Susan is the reasonable one. And so I believe it takes both of those attributes to be successful. And so when we started the accelerator, we have come together and really we're on our third iteration of content because we've learned and listened and really things have changed. We are about to have our fourth anniversary and we launched the accelerator 2 months after we launched the business. So it wasn't very long. And so, we've worked together to kind of come to a really great place with over 200, and I believe we're at 225 companies that have gone through the accelerator right now.
Wow, that's amazing. And you're launching in the Ukraine, right? Or in Poland. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
I would love to talk about that. We actually are working a lot with Ukrainian entrepreneurs. And so some that are still in Ukraine and we do a virtual program. And then I was just in Warsaw this week, and I had 46 of the most amazing displaced Ukrainian entrepreneurs that have started over in Poland, and they are inspiring and I was awestruck by them. They are the most amazing women entrepreneurs.
How remarkable to take what you're doing into, I mean, just to broaden that, but to do it in these communities where women have been significantly displaced. And I mean, their entire lives have been disrupted. So I just want to acknowledge you for taking that risk because that's not something that a lot of people would do.
Well, the good news is my career at Microsoft was outside the US for the most part. And so I had some of that experience and, it really became such an obvious direction for us. And I know that when women-owned businesses export, the research says they're 25% more successful than when they don't, because they diversify their revenue stream. So, while it's twofold, it's their success, and we have a product that is helpful to them and will support their businesses, and it is helpful to us as a women-owned business. So, I do think of this in two minds all the time.
Yeah. Well, and we're going to take a break in a minute and an ad break, but I did read your book and I was struck by, I mean, that attitude, I mean, you say you're relentless, that attitude of just like, okay, why not? I mean, it seems like you're much more about why not than why.
I am. That is an understatement. I've adopted a brand new philosophy this year that sort of honed that why not thought. So I'll tell you about it.
Okay, I definitely want to hear more about that. So stay tuned, everybody. You're listening to The Courage Effect. We will be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Suzanne from The Courage Effect. As the seasons changed, I poked into my closet and discovered how stale my wardrobe had become. Everything felt boring, and I wanted something different and fresh. I grabbed my laptop and remembered Armoire. Why not clothing rental? I could experiment with new styles from jeans to something fancy without spending a ton of money and buying clothes I would only wear a handful of times. Armoire makes clothing rental easy. Build the perfect seasonal wardrobe with brands that are unique, sustainably sourced, and owned by women. All you have to do is take the style quiz, select items from your personalized closet, and they will ship them straight to your door. Armoire allows me to indulge in high-quality designer clothing with no guilt. They promote sustainability with fewer items ending up in the donation bag and landfill, and no dry cleaning fees. Trust me, your cramped closet and the environment will thank you. If you're ready to have your dream closet delivered to your door, you must try Armoire. And right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style, that's armoire.style, /thecourageeffect to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. Welcome back to The Courage Effect. This is Suzanne, and I am in conversation with Kate Eisler. So Kate, when we cut to the break, you were talking about a new mantra that you have adopted recently. I'd love for you to share that.
Absolutely. I was at an event early in the year, first couple of weeks of January, and you know, we were talking about opportunity and talking about all kinds of things. And a woman stood up and said, you know, my job right now is not great, and I'm in an industry that's not great, but I've chosen to say, what if it all works out? And I thought, oh my gosh, it hit home for me, because I am always a, why not try this, you know, but I'm also very cautious, you know, like many women. Okay, let me have a contingency plan for this. And let me think about this. And what if that, and her philosophy just hit me just right. And I'm like, okay, what if we started to adopt the, what if it all works out, and start to plan that way and start to see our future successfully. And I know that people, you know, talk about having that vision and that mantra as you go forward, but I just was like, okay, here I am. And now we are, you know, almost halfway through the year. And I'm telling you, it's working out for me. So what if it all works out? I mean, oh my gosh. And I have to tell myself that and stop, you know, contingency planning sometimes. But it's, you know, the attitude is working out. And now you know, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's working out.
It's almost like the, like you're manifesting.
It is. And I think that, you know, there is something to, you know, you call in the attitude that you give out. And having gone both directions in that, I see such a big difference. And it really is a thing that I am living by, and I work at it. It's not natural to me, because I do, you know, I want to control things and I want to plan and I want to make sure they work, but I'm like, okay. And the other piece of that that I think is super important is, what if it all works out, but maybe not exactly how I had planned it? That's the other piece I'm trying to get over myself for. And so,
yeah. One, I really appreciate that too, because it's the whole idea of you don't have the single plan of how it has to be. Like, working out can take on different forms.
And you have to listen for those forms and be open for them. And I think oftentimes if you have a vision of what's going to happen, I will tell you that when we started this business, this is not my vision by any means. And, you know, and I was like, of course it'll work out, you know. And then now I think, oh, thank goodness we were open to listening and reading the tea leaves kind of around us, mm-hmm. that said, oh gosh, you know, this is actually, you know, not, and I think it's deeper than, you know, product market fit and all those sorts of entrepreneurial statements. It's really, you know, where do you sit and what's work out for you? And that's what we've had to kind of come to. And I'm happy to say that I feel so passionate about that and our ability to listen and figure out what is working out really mean.
Yeah. I'm also harking back to your book and the whole, like, so much of you and so many of the steps that you've taken in your life have involved a certain amount of risk and courage. And that has been to the whole, like I said before, like it seems like you say why not more than you say why. Where do you think that comes from? That it's almost like a faith that things will work out.
You know, I scratch my head because I'm asked that oftentimes, and I think it is, you know, I'm the classic person that appears one way, and actually, if you dig under the surface, it's a completely different way. So I oftentimes, you know, I've had a career and a life that I didn't for a minute imagine was possible. So I'm a 2018 college graduate. And so I had a career long before I went to college. I came from a really different childhood, not a very affluent one. And it was in the South and it was difficult. And, you know, so I didn't have the network or the financial backing. What I did end up having before I really, you know, kind of got into my stride was, you know, what could I do to change my circumstances? And that started very early in my life. And, you know, I was like, well, what's the downside? And, you know, oftentimes I don't want to misrepresent, I don't have a tragic story behind me, but a story that I didn't want to repeat and that I wanted to improve. And so I was like, well, I could live like this, or I could aspire to do that. And so I always did that. And I will tell you, my siblings oftentimes think, were you hatched or where'd you come from? Because that is not the mantra of my family.
You're reminding me of the fact that you grew up with a father who managed hotels, correct?
I did. I lived for the first 10 years of my life in a hotel. And I want to just say, it isn't the hotel that you have in mind. It's not the Hyatt. It's not the Westin. It was a motel, a Holiday Inn motel. And really, my first real memories were in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I caught the school bus at the Holiday Inn sign every day. So it was weird. It was a very weird upbringing.
Well, and it also it makes me wonder, like it gave you an appreciation for stability, or for also being able, like knowing that there was only so much control that you would have over scenarios, because I'm imagining that temporary nature of things and moving around was a part of that.
It was a big part of it. The other piece of it that was really interesting that has really stuck with me is the fact that living in a public place in a hotel like that, you have exposure to all kinds of people and you get to watch those people. And I think that that really fed me into these are the kind of people I want to be. This is the kind of behavior I don't want to do, you know. And so it was a very early sort of subconscious behavior modeling that I saw. And you know, and I got to meet some really fascinating people that sort of came in and out of the hotel. And so I think that that probably fueled my desire to, you know, why not, why can't I be like them? And that's how I've always lived. I picked Seattle on a map just before I turned 21 and moved here. You know, I mean, as you do, why not? So yeah. I've done
And
that.
you've lived in, I mean, I know London is like one of the ones that comes off the top of my head, but why don't you share? 'Cause and Dubai, right? So
Yes. So I was working at Microsoft. So again, I was not a typical tech worker. I didn't have the background or the education or any of that. But you know, good news is they were willing to take a chance, just like I was, because they were, you know, changing the world, and I so wanted to be a part of that. I was so excited to be a part of it. And I was working there, and I got an email about a gentleman who was being promoted and moved to Paris. And I'm like, I know that guy, and I could totally do that job. And so I decided to raise my hand and say, I could do that job. So I did, of course, have a husband and a baby. Well, there was that. And so I started telling people that I wanted to do that, and it was not very long into that statement that I got a knock and somebody said, are you interested in the Middle East? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And this is right after the first Gulf War. So I went home and told my husband, kind of in passing, guess what? You know, and he went, great. You know, and we didn't think anything more about it. And the same guy called me back and said, well, you know, how about you go and take a trip and see? So I told my husband it would be a really great little holiday. Let's go try it. Let's go. And so we did, and we had that back and forth of, okay, we could do this, and then the next day we could never do this. And just before, honestly, we got on the plane to come home, they offered me a job. I took it. Told him in the security line, well, oh yeah, I took the job. So we came back home. I promised it would be 2 years. And so 6 international moves and 3 kids later, we came back and we lived in the Middle East. We lived in Munich and I worked in Central and Eastern Europe. I lived in London and worked in Africa and the Middle East. And then eventually London again, and I worked in the UK market. And then my last position was at Windows here at corporate, running their global marketing and campaigns organization. So yeah, why not?
Such a journey, and a patient and understanding husband. I want to also acknowledge him in this.
Absolutely. It's a partnership. And again, I don't think you can do any of these things alone. And, we had lots of success and lots of fun. We made lots of mistakes. And I will say I made lots of mistakes, both career mistakes, personal mistakes. I wasn't a great mom sometimes. I was definitely not a great partner sometimes. And in my book, I'm really candid about some of those decisions I made that didn't result in a great outcome. Because I also want people to understand that as you appear to be successful, it's not always an upward journey, that you have backwards and forwards. And we as women need to share that with one another so we feel comfortable and don't feel bad when we get in that situation.
Yeah, I really appreciate you recognizing that too, because so much of the time we always want to just hear, to your point earlier, the success stories, right? Like, hey, I put it up and it just happened. And like, oh, I made this decision and it was all good. And it's like, no, people want to hear the real stories, because I believe that those are the ones that we learn from probably more than the successes.
When you don't feel like the only, I'm the only
Yes.
one that makes bad decisions. I'm the only one that made a mistake. Because I'm going to guarantee you, I've made that mistake. I've made that mistake and 5 other mistakes on the way. And I want to tell people all the time, here's the ways that I screwed up so that you're not the only.
Yeah. Well, thank you for recognizing that. As we are wrapping up the conversation, I want to share a few thoughts that really stood out for me in our conversation today. The theme throughout, you can never do it alone, whether it's the business partner, whether it's the women in the community that you're building and that you're helping to create, your partner, probably your children too. We learn from everybody that's in our lives and all of the experiences that we have. And the importance of finding the right partner. So, I mean, now we were just talking about your husband, but before we were talking about Susan, right? The business partner. How do you make sure that you have the person that's going to be there that isn't exactly like you? I think that your comment too about the difference is important, because we want to make sure that we have that balance. And the mantra, what if it all works out? Because we're all afraid all the time, but sometimes we need to be open to what might be on the other side of that fear. So any final thoughts, Kate, as we wrap up?
No, I think that the themes that you picked up are really the themes of my life, truly. I am absolutely a person who can never do it alone. I think that you need people to support you. I think you need people to call you out. And I think you need a council of people that will do that, truly, that'll say, you're doing a great job and cheer for you, but say, you're like crazy. That is not where you should be going. And that just sounds rubbish. And I am very fortunate to have those people in my life. And I encourage people, as hard as it is, get those people to surround you and ask them, say, I need you to call me out and I need you to cheer for me. And so I have, I used to be too busy. I'm never too busy to support women in that way.
I love it. So, how do you know when you're stuck? Because obviously you've been at various points in your life, and I'm just curious, what are the voices? What's your body telling you? How do you know?
Oh gosh. I am very stubborn and I think I can just muscle through it oftentimes. And truly for me, when I think I am not actually excited to get out of bed today, what I have to do is painful. And whether that is a big stuck or something that I just don't want to face, I really feel it. And I'm like, ugh. And I can tell in my attitude all day, every day. I am generally a pretty happy person and I have a lot of energy. And when I don't, I know I've got to get through it. I know that, there's something. And so I tend to, I wish I could say jump on it quick, but, I muscle through it and say I can fix it for a while. And I have sort of learned to call my counsel and say, help me. I am stuck, stuck, stuck. Or when I think I'm about to get there, I am good enough to know I have, like I say, I have about five people that are on my sort of mental speed dial that all I need to do is go, I need you to tell me yes, no, or what about this. And I, in fact, when I was in Poland, I did it last week. I called a friend and said, do you have 5 minutes? I need something. And she sort of straightened me out because I was having a fit about something, not work, personal. And she said, what are you doing? I was like, thank you. And I think that we need to listen to that and be willing to hear that because it wasn't, I want you to side with me and say, you're right. People are so mean. And she was like, no.
I
Was
love
great.
that it's like phone a friend.
It's totally phone a friend, but you have to have the friend that will be so painfully honest with you. And that's what makes it right. Because when I call her and I say, oh my gosh, I have something to share that's fantastic, she is right there and cheers for me.
So important. And I think that, I mean, what I'm hearing too is trust, that you're cultivating these relationships over time and that you really trust each other to know that you have to tell each other the truth.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't, I mean, that's a tenet which I think that we say it, but honesty and trust is so important. If you get to the hard part and the bad part and you just get it out, if you go, okay, I completely dropped the ball on this and it's going to be painful because I'm embarrassed or it costs money or there's some implication to that, but you can repair a relationship if you do that. If you don't do that, you're speaking very loudly about your value you put in that relationship. And that goes for business or personal, I think, as hard as it is. And gosh, what's the worst that could happen if you're honest?
Yeah, or what's the best that can happen?
Exactly. What if it
Yeah.
all works out?
There you go. The reframe. And my last question for you is, what advice would you give to women who are newer entrepreneurs or who are thinking about going out on their own?
So, the thing that I would say to you is do it because, from a logical standpoint, the way in which women make wealth, there are two ways. Is one is that you invest, and the second way is that you have your own business because wage parity is over 140 years away. It's just, so entrepreneurship to me is a great way to get involved. And whether that be, entrepreneurs in a small company or in your own company. So I would say do it. The second thing I would say is find someone to do it with because having tried it alone, it is, I think, impossible. It's just overwhelming and you can't possibly manage all those things. And anyone who says that they've done it alone is not truthful, to be honest. You just can't do that. And the third thing I would say is be patient, but don't be patient. So you've got to be after it. It is not an overnight thing. There is just no way. I don't care how good your idea is and who you know, there's a process to it. And don't give up. It is a, I think it is a journey that you are on, and be prepared for that journey. And don't be shocked when it's like, well, everybody loved it. All my friends love it. Why isn't it selling?
Yeah.
So, but do it. That's the bottom line. What if it all works out?
What if it all works out? And having the people to help you along that path. And also, I mean, the communities that you tap into. That's been one of the things I think that's been vital for me is you never do it alone. I mean, even though like I am pretty much a solopreneur, I have people that work with me every day to help make it happen and to drive it forward. It doesn't exist without the village.
It doesn't. And you have to ask that village. You have to be vulnerable enough to go, I have no idea about this, because you can't know everything. I mean, I ask every day. I'm like, okay, again, as I said, I get up with a list of, oh my gosh, I think I know everything. And then I go, oh my God, I know nothing by the end of the day. And so I have to ask. I mean, I ask people all the time for the dumbest things. I'm like, okay, they're going to think I'm really silly, but I don't know about this, or I just learned about this. And you won't know until you ask.
Yeah, you won't know until you ask. I
Yeah.
love that.
Yeah.
Kate, thank you for being you. Thank you for all the work that you do, and thank you for being on this show. So it's a pleasure. We'll put all the contact information for the marketplace and also Be Bold Now on the website. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Take care. The Courage Effect is brought to you by Weller Collaboration. We partner with individuals, teams, and organizations to enhance leadership, increase agility, and build effective teams. More information about us is available via the links in our show notes. Please spread the word about the Courage Effect. Rate and review your favorite episodes on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. Share with your colleagues, family, and anyone in your universe who might be inspired by a good dose of courage. If you have feedback or stories to share about the show or would like to apply to be a guest, please contact us via our website. Benny Mathers is our producer. Dave Nelson composed our theme music. Alex Sandyforth is our administrative maven. And I'm your host, Suzanne Weller.